Moncrief on News Talk.
If you were asked to list your hobbies, would you be able to? Do you have any hobbies at all? And no, watching TV or drinking wine don't count. Chloe McPollin realised that she was hobbyless and so set out about trying to find herself one. Afternoon, Chloe.
Good afternoon, Sean.
So you had no hobbies at all that you could identify?
So I wouldn't have necessarily. It was kind of more of a situation when I was asked by people in, you know, meeting new people. When I moved to Dublin about a year and a half ago, I found I was meeting a lot of new people. And I was kind of caught in the situation where people would be like, so what do you do for fun? And I didn't necessarily know the answer to that.
Yeah.
It was kind of just, you know, I work, you know, I go home, I do my laundry, I cook my dinner, I do all my bits and my bobs. But I wasn't really necessarily tapping into anything per se that was of actual necessarily interest to me, I suppose.
Right. Okay. So, but you're in your 20s, would I be right in that?
I'm 26.
Yeah. Okay. So a lot of people in their 20s, are they doing sport stuff?
So I found, generally speaking, it's kind of like there's a hierarchy of hobbies going on. So it's like you're either doing a Hyrox, you're running a marathon.
A what now?
A Hyrox.
What's that?
It's kind of like various different styles of training. So it's kind of like weights mixed in with, you know, running for 8 kilometres, I think it is. And then, you know, you have to do ski erg and squats and farmer's carries and all these different kind of exercises.
And some people think that's fun.
Apparently so. And there's kind of this, you know, huge accolade that comes with it. It's kind of the new marathon for my generation, Gen Z. Everyone's kind of taking up Hyrox, marathon, cold plunges, you name it, they're doing it.
Okay, so in that situation, if somebody had said to you, what do you do for fun? And you said, I really like knitting. End of conversation.
Kind of. It's
unless you were carrying a man on your back while you were knitting.
It kind of felt that way. So what I kind of started doing, I was finding myself almost lying, which was kind of hilarious. So I basically would say, I sea swim. Because who can disprove that you're actually sea swimming?
No, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that just swimming? Just, like, why is the location so important?
I know, it's very bizarre. I feel like we got in our heads during COVID and kind of lockdown and everyone was really adamant to pick up, you know, something, you know, an outdoorsy activity. Like, I think it was something like 41% of 18 to 34 year olds took up an outdoor activity, but like I didn't. And I kind of felt like I was forgotten in that.
No, because it was only 34%. That's, I forget what the rest, like 66% didn't. So yeah, you're part of the majority still.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. But it just felt like I didn't necessarily get the memo. So I just started lying about it and it worked a charm.
Okay. Sea swimming, yeah, that's fine. Did people ask follow-up questions about sea swimming at all?
They just ask where you go generally. And I always said Sea Point.
Yeah.
You know, no one seemed to kind of bat an eyelid. And people got, you know, it got great praise. It went down like a house on fire. People loved it. It was
okay.
Like, wow, how impressive. Do you do it all the time? It got to the point that I actually sat a job interview about 2 years ago before I got my current job. And I remember they asked me, you know, what do you do for fun? You know, I sat there, I was puzzled. And I literally said, sea swimming. And they said, how many times a week do you go? I said, 5 times a week.
My God, you maniac. That's really impressive.
Yeah. So the lie.
Did you get that job?
No, needless to say.
They probably knew you were lying.
I think they could sense it from me. That's for sure.
Right. But to have a hobby, doesn't that mean that, like, okay, some people like sport. I don't understand that, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but to have a hobby, I would assume it has to be something that, okay, I like my job or I don't even like my job very much. So, but there's this other area that I am really interested in rather than there's necessarily a requirement on you to be interested in some other area.
I guess so. Like, I think it's less about the actual hobby itself. When I spoke to a clinical psychotherapist, Stephanie Regan, she basically said it's less about the hobby itself and what you're doing. It's more about the act of having one and kind of being in that flow state. It basically kind of contributes to just overall well-being and it kind of allows you that time to kind of tap into your own interests and just be present in the moment, you know, and amidst all the madness. I think a lot of 26-year-olds as well or people my age are just kind of victim of, you know, TikTok brain rot hell. So it's kind of a good way of withdrawing from that and like actually tapping into something and being present in the moment.
So doing something physical.
Not necessarily. Like, I suppose, see, this is where it gets kind of interesting because it prompted a lot of conversation about what we consider hobbies to be necessarily. You know, stamp collecting is a hobby, but in the hierarchy of hobbies, people don't view that as something that should receive great praise, you know? So I suppose it doesn't really matter necessarily what you're doing at all. It's just something that you enjoy and that you can find calm and a moment's pause. Or I suppose if physicality is something that gives you great satisfaction, absolutely drive it on.
Yeah, no, I mean like just something you might do with your hands rather than necessarily involves running or even standing up.
Yeah, it can be anything at all. It literally can be anything at all.
So what have you tried so far?
So basically what I'm doing, I'm documenting in the Irish Independent on the weekends, basically. I'm doing a new hobby each week. So I've tried tin whistle lessons.
Okay.
I've tried DJing lessons. And I have tried a coffee brewing course thus far. So my tin whistle piece is coming out this weekend. But basically, oh my God, my tin whistle lesson. I absolutely used to scoff at tin whistle. I thought it was a mere stopgap between nothing and an instrument. Like I literally didn't believe it. You know, it was difficult. And I was absolutely humbled. It was like a form of rejection therapy, but in the best kind of way. It was brilliant. It was in a way, I was kind of like, I actually needed that. I needed to be really bad at something.
Yeah.
To kind of realize the actual gift and the talent in it.
Yeah, you didn't, but you didn't come away from that lesson thinking, but I would go back. I want to get better at this.
No, it seemed like an awful lot of practice that I wasn't necessarily willing to put in, which is kind of terrible. But I could acknowledge it for being a really skilled, incredible instrument that I didn't see it as before. So I still got something out of it.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's good to know what you shouldn't do, what you should do. And the DJing?
Oh my God, the DJing was wild. So it was a DJing course in the Sound Training College in Temple Bar, and it was kind of a mixture of making your own beats and actually mixing tracks yourself. But now, I always had fancied myself as a bit of a Peggy Goo, Hannah Lang female DJ. Like, I really wanted to tap into that. I was always jealous of people who did. But like, again, I really kind of found myself being like, this is so much more difficult than I gave it credit to be. But it was something I actually was like, God, I would like to take that up as a hobby.
Okay.
So, you know, we're getting there.
Well, that's something then.
Exactly.
That's something then. Brewing coffee. is that very po-faced? And they're trying to make something that essentially involves pressing a button on a machine sound way more complicated than it is.
Well, it's actually quite the art, would you believe? I kind of felt very cynical about it too. But I went along and it's a whole process. You have special coffee filters. You have a contraption called a V60. It looks like an ancient torture device. You pop it on, certain amount of milliliters of water. You have to have your scales out, weigh your beans. It's a delicate process, time the amounts. But what I did find really beneficial about the coffee brewing course was I came away after, I think it was like the 3-hour class, and I actually had a skill under my belt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I now know how to brew coffee.
Okay, but if you were to make me a cup of coffee, would it take like an hour and a half because of all the things you described there?
1000% it would take an hour and a half. It would. It was like pseudo cold by the time it reached, you know, human consumption.
Somebody says, I'm a sea swimmer 3 years now. There's a lot to talk about sea swimming. There's the gear. There's dippers and swimmers. There's sea temperature all year round, just summer. I can go on. Pool swimming is boring in comparison, says Owen in Bray, who's a cold water sea swimmer and proud. So there you go. You could just like do a bit of online research and you'll have loads to talk about your sea swimming.
I'm telling you, I feel
it's a dry robe that you have to get. And they cost a fortune.
They do. And people just love talking about how early they did it. And they did it in January. And I did it all the way through the winter. And even when it got warmer, all these fair weather swimmers. It's great. You get to give out about everything.
Someone says, Gen Z, that's you, don't like hobbies like making ships in a bottle because it requires intense concentration, which causes lines in the forehead. And sure, that wouldn't do at all because they're so obsessed with their looks. I would rather put themselves through the physical torture of high rocks and ice plunges to turn themselves into perfect physical specimens. Well, that's a lot of judgment in that. Obviously, judgment is that person's hobby, and they do it very well indeed. But would you consider that like knitting or kind of what might be considered to be an older person's pastime?
Yeah, like I absolutely would consider something along those lines. Like I was really into knitting when I was younger. So like I do feel like there is that element of tapping into things you enjoyed when you were younger. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be the most highfalutin crazy thing.
No.
It can literally just be as simple as if you enjoy collecting something or if you enjoy sitting down knitting or drawing a picture, it doesn't have to be, you know, a masterpiece, but to come away from it and feel accomplished and like you did something for yourself. I think.
Yeah. No, I know somebody just took up knitting. Only because, but She thought, well, when I look at TV, I tend to be double screening. Mm. I know she knits when she's looking at TV, and so she's not looking at the brain rot that you referred to earlier on. Best of luck with finding the perfect hobby for yourself. That was Chloe McPollin there, and those articles are appearing in the Irish Independent. You are listening to The Moncrief Show on Newstalk. We're going to take a break. After that, TV on the radio.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on Newstalk.